ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba.
The mellifluous tones of one Ema Sumac, and I hate to go over Ema Sumac with this, but Bill, I wanna check your memory from when we were younger.
Sure, go ahead.
Lizzie Borden took an axe.
Gave her mother 40 whacks when she saw what she had done. Gave her father 41.
There you go. And why are we
That's
singing?
Number one on the hit parade this week, Wendy.
Thank you, Casey Kasem.
Three spots from number five.
Lizzie Borden is featured among many others and plenty others in this awesome new book called The Crime Book. And on the line with us right now, Los Angeles Times bestselling author Kathy Scott. How are you, Kathy?
Hey, Kathy.
I'm good, thank you. Happy to be with you guys.
Kathy, I'm sure you thought about this when you wrote the book, but even though this is dark, dark, dark territory, everybody kind of likes hearing about it, don't they?
They do, yeah. I was a consultant on the book, and I'm one of the writers. So I don't want to take full credit, but thank you. Yeah, it's dark. I mean, especially when it comes to, you know, kids. But some of them, though, are not victimless crimes, but no, against insurance companies and jewelry stores and things like that. You know, notorious jewel thieves and, you know, Frank Abagnale, the big check forger when he was a teenager and faking careers like a pilot, you know, flying planes when he was a teenager, you know, and going around the country stealing money. But we do, of course, have the dark ones. There's a Neanderthal man who is the first known murder. Happened 430,000 years ago, and he was bludgeoned to death. That's in there, too.
All right. Now, who are the other authors? Because I feel bad now. We should give credit where credit is due.
Lee Miller out of Toronto, Canada. Rebecca Morrison and Shauna Hogan.
This book is very fascinating to me, and of course, there are major cases that we know about and a lot of contemporary ones, like, of course, Charles Manson, O.J. Simpson. I mentioned Lizzie Borden was, who played Lizzie Borden?
Elizabeth Montgomery.
Yeah. That's right. But so we know about these, but what are some other cases that might really surprise us that we may not be aware of?
Well, there's the Eiffel Tower heist. I mean, someone sold the Eiffel Tower out from, you know, under the country, not once but twice, and illegally, of course, and took somebody. It's like a real estate scam, only it happened to be with the Eiffel Tower. We delve into the Ponzi schemes, take a close look at some street gangs, but as well as the mafia in Japan, China, and of course the Sicilian mafia that ended up in America, and those people are glorified, you know, as much, especially, you know, mafia with the Sopranos on TV and that sort of thing,
and all the Godfather movies.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then Art of the Con, you know, I mentioned Frank Abagnale, but there's Doris Payne, the 86-year-old jewel thief who took a 10.5 carat diamond from Cartier and Monte Carlo and got caught and then escaped.
Did she put it in her purse like my grandma used to do with the pats of butter and crackers at restaurants?
No, she usually wore it out. She wore it on her hand, typically. Yeah, she just wore it right outside the store, and nobody thought anything of it. And she, you know, she did that for 60 years, and she's 86 years old now. So that story's in there, and kind of go into details that haven't been in newspaper accounts. Because when she sneezes, you know, it blows up, and she's written about. But she got herself arrested not too long ago. But there are I mean, the JFK murder is looked at, and you know, and then the Ted Bundy and the famous sort of serial killer cases, which are dark, but they're also interesting. You know, people are fascinated by them, you know, sort of a voyeuristic look at crimes. But I think there's something in the book for everyone. One thing you get from the book, and you guys have seen it, is kind of a map into the different crimes, and with the graphics and all the sidebars that give you just a real perspective on a variety of crimes, you know, from the police angle, from the victim's angle, from the criminal's angle.
See, Kathy, that's why we here in the Midwest, especially Chicago, have a hard time with this book, the crime book, because we really haven't had much by way of crime here in Chicago.
Oh, of course you haven't. Yeah, home of the mafia.
Yeah. So why yeah, was Chicago
politicians? Who
yeah, we had
corrupt.
Problem with the politicians a little bit. Why are we such a hotbed for all things crime? What's going on in Chicago?
We don't have an ocean.
Is that what
we
it
have
is?
Nothing to do.
We need an ocean.
Good food, but no swimming.
Well, hey, that explains Vegas. They're landlocked too.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you do have you've got water in Chicago. Is that a river?
There's a little lake. Lake
Michigan. I'm terrible at geography.
That's all right.
Yeah, they're landlocked, so it's because the mafia was out there too, of course. But well, I think big cities, and you know they're hotbeds for, you know, crime coming in and kind of taking over and corrupting a few politicians here and there.
Sure. Now, since you mentioned the mafia, work on this with me, because I'm a huge fan of all things mafia. In Italy, it's the Cosa Nostra, but in other parts of the world, in Asia, in Russia, you name it, they all have kind of similar crime syndicates. What is the difference? Is there any difference between these crime syndicates around the globe?
Well, I think so. The Chinese triad, the Japanese in Japan, there's the Yamusa. They all typically, you know, have the same start, you know, sort of the same nexus, and it starts with a family, you know, and that's what happened in Japan, and they're very they infiltrated corporations,
yeah,
and kind of just strong-armed them and took money. And in China, it's the triad. It's mostly, you know, the black market, you know, for goods and that sort of thing. And you know, of course, violence comes with all of them. But Japan, it's what. 102,000 strong is the membership of the organized crime there that actually operates in other parts of the world as well, including the U.S. With mafia in the U.S., you know, it used to be they ran the scam and, you know, at the casinos and ran the casinos. Now they're in different businesses, including some strip clubs, you know, topless joints.
Yeah.
And they've just, you know, they're still around. They're just not operating the same businesses they used to. But I don't think they're around as much, you know. And I think it's because police work and high tech and surveillance and everything else is making certain that they don't get up to the speed that they used to be up to.
Will there be pirates in this book?
Wendy asked that of every author we have on, Kathy. Yeah. Every author we have on, Wendy asked that same question.
No, I don't.
No, but there are actually. I'd have to look it up. I'm not. Oh, my gosh. But there is a pirate story in there. And it should be in the index. You should see it in there. But it's because there were, you know, crimes going on the ships, too, like crazy. So we do have a pirate story in there.
Page 18 and 19, Wendy.
Did you find it?
I looked it up. Page 18 and 19 has to do with piracy.
Yay.
Yay.
but you also have the, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. But I mean, it's across the board, everything you can think of, you know.
You know, and I this is just a question for you, but H.H. Holmes is not mentioned in this book, and that's, I guess, kind of our little local murder, serial killer.
City guy,
yeah.
Who they're digging up.
I know, because they don't think it's his body
right.
that was buried.
Yeah.
Well, fascinating stuff. That's fascinating. They're doing DNA from the family or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, the family says that he pulled one last hoax, and they buried some other guy that he moved, I think, to somewhere, some island somewhere, that he didn't die when they thought he died. Who, in your opinion, was the greatest crime stopper of all time?
Crime stopper?
Yeah, who thwarted more crimes? Who stopped them, would you say, was the best?
Well, I think the FBI.
Yeah.
I think the FBI has just done depending on who. They had a crackdown on the mafia like crazy, but they're the ones who caught Frank Abagnale. But they're so good at what they do. You know, I think the police departments all operate independently. But, the thwarters were definitely the FBI. And I think today also you can count in Joe Citizen, because they're out there with their cameras.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Smartphones and tattling on people, basically. And, it's changing, because those videos are now becoming part of documents and part of the crime files and eventually part of the history. I mean, JFK's murder is in there, John F. Kennedy and Lincoln's murders. I mean, just think if we had smartphones back in 1963 when President Kennedy was shot.
Oh, yeah, really?
No conspiracy theories. Tupac and Biggie, they're in the book as well. There would have been, 100 videos of those murders when they went down.
Absolutely. I just forget about some of the details, like the Lindbergh baby and the dingo ate my baby. I forget about all these things. So I have to tell you, it's an absurd obsession that a lot of us have, not just me. But I can't wait to sit down and check out each and every one of these, because they're each one's more fascinating than the next.
Thanks so much. A dingo ate my baby. I think she's off the hook, though, now, isn't she? Didn't they find new stuff to get her off the hook? But with the Lindbergh baby, I think forensics is so more defined today. We've got the Burke and Hare murders out of Scotland, the grave robbers. We're selling cadavers to a medical school. But they were robbing graves, and then they decided to speed it up because it was too much work to dig them up. So they just started killing people.
Oh.
And selling, yeah.
Problem
and then they
solvers.
Were,
yeah.
Yeah. Enabled by the medical centers that would accept the bodies, no questions asked. So that Burke and Hare is in there too, that out of Scotland. That's a fascinating study.
Kathy, are you surprised? You just talked about through technology how far we've come over the last couple of decades, but there's still plenty of unsolved crimes. I always think about the JonBenet Ramsey case, and you say, boy, everything's there, and yet they never solved it. And that's just one. There's so many that go unsolved. Are you shocked by that?
No, I think it's the workload having to do with the police departments. You know, it's a lot. But I also think it has to do with the prominence of the family. And once you go down a certain path on a crime and you follow the evidence, and if the crime scene's not handled properly, which in this case it doesn't appear it was, in the JonBenet Ramsey case, you can't reverse it. You've lost. You know, there's so much that you've lost. It's hard to reconstruct. You know, I have my own thoughts about it, and I think one day I think it's solvable, and I think we're close, and I think one day it'll all come out. But it's, there have been a couple of really good stories done on it lately, and I think everybody's getting closer.
Sometimes it comes down to like a deathbed confession, like somebody who's involved or knows what happened.
They want to die with a clean conscience.
Yeah,
conscience.
So you have to wait for that almost sometimes.
Yeah, I think so. I think her father, her mother's gone. Her father, at some point will be. I think he's a fairly healthy man right now, but Or some of the investigators, you get new blood in there. It almost takes a new shift. You know, you get another generation of a district attorney, because you've got some diehard police police in there who won't look at certain people. And once you get those guys out of there, they're retired, and some new guys come in with fresh eyes and no biases, then I think that crime will be solved.
All right, we have a listener who has called us at what number, Bill?
They call 312-235-2525.
And Harold is on the line. Harold, this is Kathy Scott. We're talking about this awesome new book. I hate to be so excited about it, but it's really good. The crime book, Big Ideas Simply Explained. Harold?
It's those kind of books are really great. Hello, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
What I was going to talk about, Bill was talking about the crime stoppers or crime solvers. I'll talk about it in a moment, but before I do, I'll point out the one that fascinates me, and a lot of them do, but Sonny Bean from Scotland, since you had brought up Burke and Hare. It's sometimes said to be maybe a legend, sometimes said it's a true story, but supposed to have a family of, you know, a family of murderers that lived in a cave. They kind of just basically left the civilization and went somewhere to live in a cave and would just attack people on the highway, on the roads, about 600-700 years ago.
Really?
What's the last name?
Stop their carriage and swamp the carriage and then drag the people off and rob them. And
Harold, what's the last name of this?
Sonny Bean.
Yeah.
Tawny Bean?
Like Sonny Bean.
Tawny Bean. No, I've heard of similar ones in the Old West. I think that was a common thing. You know, some of the cowboys, that's how they operated. Some families would wait for a stagecoach to go by. Native Americans did it they wanted them off their property. When the stagecoaches would go through the Indian reservations. But I think that's a kind of a common thing that happened, that travelers were attacked quite a bit. I mean, when you traveled, you know, for miles and miles with nothing around you, a lot of times they were targeted. So I'm not surprised. I haven't heard of Bonnie Bean. I haven't heard of that person, but I'm not surprised that there would be a family. And if it was a big crime and it went on for a long time, I'm surprised I haven't heard of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't either.
But I will look it up.
Harold, we got to run to news.
It's Sonny, actually, not Bonnie Bean, but it's Sonny Bean. But if you look up The Hills Have Eyes, that's what The Hills Have Eyes
is. Oh, it's based on that.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Harold, we got to run. Harold. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Well, the book is great. Kathy Scott is one of four people who put this book together. It's called The Crime Book, Big Ideas Simply Explained. And, Kathy, if people want to know more or get the book itself, their best bet is to do what?
Go to Amazon. It's there, and then it's a bestseller right now on Amazon. And also they can go to dkbooks.com and look at that book and other books in the series.
Would it be ironic if people stole the book?
Ha, ha, ha. Now, don't give people ideas.
That would be wrong. Although it would give you a sequel.
It's so weird seeing the DK book label because I have two teenage boys, and when they were born, there were a lot of books that, like, how to be a mom, what's happening, you know, in the womb at this time. So, wow. Kudos.
Now it's prime.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
My pleasure. You
it's
too.
Kathy Scott, and again, the book is called The Crime Book.
It's really great, mm-hmm. And I'm sorry I want to sit here. Kevin was very excited we got an extra copy because he couldn't wait to read it. So mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do some news with Judy Pilak. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're on the stream here at WGN.